It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Keeper Rowe, and with me, as always, to break down a fantastic four-game slate for the divisional round is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's up, man?
Survived last week's heart attack, I should say, almost heartbreak for Buffalo. And then we had to watch the Steelers just completely shit the bed. So now the Bills have to face a red-hot, tough Ravens team this week. So I'm doing good, though. It's been a busy week of NBA. And then you also have the fact that, there's four games, and you were on the Fantasy Pros podcast, which I listened to, and you made a really good point. It's like, there's a lot of times where we see people, I'm done playing DFS in the playoffs, but it's like, everybody, and you made this point, so I'm pretty much paraphrasing what you said. Like, everybody loves a Thanksgiving Day slate. It's the same thing, but it's even more, like, I don't want to say, like, predictable, because football is not as predictable as basketball or anything, but you know that the best players are playing, you know, nobody's resting unless they're really hurt. Like, it's the playoffs, so yeah, I'm excited about this slate. I'm excited that the Bills are the Saturday night game. I'm really excited for the Tampa Bay-New Orleans game. I think the Cleveland-Kansas City game has some really interesting pieces to it, as well as the Rams and Packers game. So, should be another really nice weekend of football.
Dude, I'm excited for these four games. I love, like I talked about there, I love these small 3-4 game slates. They're fantastic. They're good ways to get contrarian with your builds. I mean, hell, last week, dude, we were all over. I talked about Jack Doyle. Dude, depending on what GPPs you were in, was anywhere from 1 to 4% rostered. He went out and scored above 20 DK points. If you had him, which I had him on a few of them, I took down a few GPPs.
I think the Bills had him too, because they just didn't want to cover him, which was cool. we talked about it, like, I played Jack Doyle in some lineups because I knew, watching the Bills game, like, somebody was going to produce, and it's like, okay, would I prefer the Bills to win than for me to, you know, take down, like, a decent-sized GPP? Absolutely. But, like, if I wanted at least to not be completely distraught if somebody scored against the Bills, so I was like, screw it, I'm playing some Jack Doyle, some Jonathan Taylor. The Bills continue to struggle against tight ends, and, here comes Mark Andrews, so.
Without further ado, man, let's hop into these four games, start breaking these things down, because, yeah, I love all the action this week. I think there are a lot of good different edges as far as usage personnel that we can really exploit this week. So the first game we're going to talk about is the Los Angeles Rams head to the Green Bay Packers. The over-under is at 45.5. The Packers are favored by 6.5. What are your thoughts on this game? Because my first pass, man, I'm using this game for some one-offs. I think this game is going to be disgusting. I think it's going to be slow. I will not be surprised if it hits the under. But am I wrong? Do you like this game more than I do?
It's tough because the Rams' defense is arguably the best in the league right now. Aaron Donald could be limited if he plays. That could be something to keep an eye on. But still, like, we know their secondary has been fantastic. They've been much better against the run over the second half of the season. And then Jalen Ramsey is most surely going to be following Devontae Adams around in this game. Devontae Adams can win against anybody, but Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, is the best cornerback in the NFL, so you have to downgrade the matchup at least. I think the first thing that stands out is the fact that Cam Akers is probably underpriced. He's 5,800 on DraftKings. I don't think he should be at a price point where he's that cheap, considering he just came off a 28 carry, 30 touch game, and you have to imagine with Jared Goff probably not 100%, Cooper Kupp banged up, like, the Rams are going to run the football here, especially against a Green Bay defense that you know you can run against. I think Cam Akers, you can make the case, is the best play from this game. Obviously, Rodgers is great, and Adams, you can play anytime, but it's hard not to like Cam Akers at 5,700, given the fact that there's no Daryl Henderson. Malcolm Brown wasn't really as involved as we thought. Like, yeah, he had 9 carries, but in the grand scheme of things, like, if he had 9 carries and it's a 2-man backfield, cool. Cam Akers had the other 28. And Akers was a little bit more involved in the passing game than I thought he would be. So he was just ripping off big plays against a Seattle run defense that you've talked about a lot this year has been, sneaky good against the run. So against the Packers, I don't see how Cam Akers isn't like the focal point of this offense in this game, given how banged up the Rams offense is right now.
I think he will be, and I think he's going to be the uber chalk this week, and I think it's for good reason, dude. Like, DK hates this man. They refuse to price him above 6K. Having him at 5,700 is absolutely ridiculous, considering over his last five games, he's had to almost 25 touches per freaking game. And regardless of the way, like you talked about his pass game usage, regardless of the script and the narrative that you tell yourself about this game, Cam Akers is not getting scripted out of this game. And that's fantastic considering the matchup. I mean, last week he ran a route on 62% of Goff's dropbacks. You look at the Packers, if we want to talk about their run defense, they have been much better over the back half of the season. Now, something that comes into game scripts and how some of the teams they played, I mean, still over their last eight games, four running backs have gone above 90 yards rushing against them. They do have the number one run defense inside the red zone over the last 8 weeks. In that span, they've only allowed two rushing touchdowns, but that's not going to stop Sean McVay. Like, you're looking at a Rams team that is tied with Baltimore this year as the second most run-heavy team in the NFL. So, for all the reasons I can tell you to possibly fade Cam Akers, I can't do it in this spot, because if the Rams have a chance, it's on feeding Akers. And you talked about Malcolm Brown, dude. Half of his touches came towards the end of the game, like third, fourth quarter. So this was all Akers' backfield. It's still going to be his backfield this week. And I just think that, like, even as popular as he's going to be on a four-gamer, there are still ways that you are able to build your teams and be different. Like, there are only two Rams that I really have a ton of interest in out of this game. And one is Akers. And I'm not even trying to talk about their defense. Their defense is definitely in play. And if you want to play Akers and their defense is a correlation play, I'm absolutely with that. The other guy, and I know people are going to be surprised to hear me say this, it's not Robert Woods and it's not Cooper Kupp that I want to bring up here. It's actually Josh Reynolds. Because the reason is one, if we see Cooper Kupp out, Reynolds, his role changed immensely in week 17 without Cooper Kupp. He ran 50% out of the slot, and he's going to avoid Jair Alexander. Like, Alexander's been playing one side of the field almost exclusively since week 9. So it's not hard to avoid that man. So you really, like, I know Reynolds could be looked at as a thin play, but at 3,200, I think that he could surprise people with his target volume. And in a game, if you're talking about a script where Green Bay is going to lead this game, then Reynolds, I think, is in play. I think more people are more likely to go to Woods or even to Kupp if he does play, which we haven't seen in practice all week. They listed him as questionable, so we're still going to have to monitor and see if he does play in this game. But those are my two favorite plays in this game. I mean, is anybody else jumping out of you on the Rams side before we move over to the Packers?
Well, and the other thing is, like, towards the end of the regular season, we started to see Van Jefferson take some snaps away from Josh Reynolds, but Van Jefferson didn't touch the field on offense in their playoff game against Seattle. So that's a good sign. Reynolds didn't get a target, but they only threw the ball, 25 times? They also had, like, the mess at quarterback to start the game before Wolford got hurt, and then Jared Goff was clearly, you know, with the thumb, not 100%. So, like, it was a bad just kind of situation for the passing game. Yeah, I don't hate Josh Reynolds at 3,200. And yeah, the Rams defense, I think, is going to be really popular because nobody's going to have the confidence to go all the way down to Cleveland against Kansas City. And then it's like, okay, Baltimore could make some sense, but the Bills offense is awesome. And I think both defenses from the Tampa Bay and Saints game make some sense. But then it's like, then you have the high-end options where people don't really want to pay up for defense still, even on a four-game slate. So yeah, though Akers and the defense stand out the most. I love Robert Woods. Could he score again? Sure. They scheme him in a lot of ways, but it's not a good matchup. And Cooper Kupp, I think, plays, but he's not going to be 100%.
Absolutely, man. And look, Woods running 50% of his routes against Alexander is not something I really want to attack. And yes, I understand he's not going to shadow him. Like, but still, I mean, even if you're running half of your routes against a corner like Alexander, that's still, if we're talking about context here, that still has to bump you down a peg versus Reynolds, who, if Kupp is out, even if he's not, we've talked about Kevin King. He's the guy, if you want to attack any of these corners, that's the guy you attack. And look, I'll take Reynolds running 40 to 50% of his routes against King and sliding into the slot and avoiding Alexander on the majority of his routes than I want Woods, who's going to spend half the game against Jair. So let's start this here, man. I know that everybody are going to talk about like Ramsey versus Adams and what that looks like. Do you have any interest in Aaron Rodgers in this game before we even discuss the receivers and stuff?
It's tough because you have Mahomes, Lamar, and Josh Allen on the slate, and Aaron Rodgers has been clearly as good as those guys, and if not probably better. The problem is all three of those guys offer something with their legs, especially Lamar and Josh Allen, which helps a lot. And I just think all of their games have better chances of shooting out. So, like, Rodgers is the cheapest of the four, which in a vacuum it just seems odd because he's been so good this year. But, like, we've seen Rodgers have these four touchdown games almost all season. Like, he has a ton of four touchdown games. I mean, just count them right now. One, two, or games with at least three touchdown passes for Rodgers. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. 12 games this year with three or more touchdown passes. And I don't think it's a spot where he can't do it again, especially at home. But, you know, the Rams can pressure. Their secondary is really good. And, like, it didn't pan out, obviously, because Adams and Rodgers have been unstoppable and they've gotten contributions from Robert Tonyan. But a huge reason why a lot of the fantasy community, myself included, was a little bit worried about Rodgers coming into the season was the fact that outside of Devontae Adams, they didn't have anybody else. And Rodgers took a step back last year. And if Ramsey can, like, you're not going to take away Devontae Adams, but if he can hold him to, like, a mediocre game, then do you really trust Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard and these guys, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, to beat these corners, these secondary corners from the Rams? Like, I think it's a bad matchup for all those guys. I think the Rams corners win in that matchup. So you can definitely tell a story to where it's like a 250-yard, two-touchdown game from Rodgers, which isn't exactly good, but it could be enough for them to win this playoff game, especially if they get Aaron Jones involved. The Packers are kind of tough because Aaron Jones has been getting the usage we really want as of late. Like, he's still the guy that I would project to lead this backfield, but, you know, Jamal Williams is healthy. A.J. Dillon's been getting a little bit more run down the stretch of the season. And then you have the matchup with Adams, who could Devontae Adams just score three touchdowns from the from inside the 5-yard line this game? Absolutely. And I'll probably still have some exposure to Adams just because he's the best receiver in the NFL and he's been unbelievable. But it's not like on this slate you're short of receivers, right? You have the Tampa Bay guys, you have Michael Thomas, you have Stephon Diggs, who we'll talk about is like criminally underpriced, and Tyreek Hill, who I know you love. Like, I think if you're picking between the two, I would probably prefer Tyreek Hill. So that's my take on the Packers. Like, nobody stands out as a guy that you just have to play in this spot.
I don't disagree at all. And the thing about it that I want to give some context to about Adams and Ramsey and stuff like that, Ramsey has shadowed this year. If people are going to tell you that they're not, then they're obviously not on FTNDaily.com heading over to our shadow index. Ramsey has shadowed twice this year versus Mike Evans and DK Metcalf in the regular season. In those two matchups, he followed them on 73 to 76% of their routes, 9 targets, 5 receptions, 51 yards, and no touchdowns allowed. And people, if you look at, I went back and watched every single target that DK Metcalf got last week. None of those touchdowns were versus Ramsey in coverage. One of them was near the goal line.
The other was a broken play where, like, exactly, Wilson scrambled out and DK's route wasn't there. He was covered, and then he just kind of turned upfield and got the touchdown. And Ramsey wasn't even close to him on that play. Like, he wasn't even covering him, so.
One of them, Ramsey, was about 10 yards off of him. Now, whether you want to credit that to Ramsey or one of the linebackers, that's fine. I get it. But Ramsey has been shut down this year. He can shadow Adams. And all these other wide receivers for the Packers, like, I honestly don't know how they win versus these corners, Adam. Like, you look at their roles. Alan Lazard is a guy going against Troy Hill. Like, is he the most susceptible cornerback of the three? Sure. Does that mean he's a good matchup? Hell no. And you look at MVS's role. The Rams are the top team, number one in the NFL in DVOA versus deep passing. And you look at that. That is all MVS's role. Like, his role in this offense, he leads the team in deep targets, is as the deep shot.
I was listening to the Chris Collinsworth podcast with Richard Sherman because they were previewing these games, and I wanted to hear what Sherman's, like, as, you know, not only just an NFL player, but, like, an elite corner for years. I wanted to hear, like, his kind of thought process on some of these matchups. He said that John Johnson, their safety for the Rams, he wears the dot. Like, he calls the plays, which is usually set from linebackers. I thought that was really interesting, and that's probably why their secondary is so damn good. Like, I thought that was super interesting.
It is, and speaking of Johnson, he's the one that lit up DK on that big hit in the game, too.
Yeah, they're just a really sound defense across the board, and, like, they can still pressure you. It's not, like we talked about all year, it's not just Ramsey. Like, it helps when you have the best corner in the NFL, but when your second and third corners are both, you know, well above average corners, like, Troy Hill is really good. Like, they're just really good, and, like, that's the story you can tell yourself for how the Rams win this game. It's because they have a guy to slow down Adams, and they don't have the weapons to beat the secondary corners, so, like, you're going to need Aaron Jones or somebody else to just win. Like, if the Rams can put up a decent amount of points, like, they could win this game.
They easily could win this game, and that's why I can't get away with Akers, because I think that the Rams make him a focal point yet again. And the Packers, I really think they could struggle to move the ball in this game. And people want to play Aaron Jones, and look, I get it. I understand he's an explosive playmaker, and the reason that I can't and I have only middling interest in Aaron Jones, I understand leverage, I understand he's probably not going to be popular, but the Rams, we talk about all these defenses, and we're going to talk about Tampa Bay and New Orleans run defenses later. Nobody gives enough credit to the Rams run defense. This run defense is top two in second and open field yards allowed to the running back position over the all season. You look at a Packers offensive line that's missing Bakhtiari, he's gone, and now they're facing a top three run defense that people don't think that, like, they don't look at the Rams as, everybody talks about their secondary. Nobody talks about their run defense and how damn good they are. And I really think that the Packers could struggle to run the ball. Heck, I think they could struggle to move the ball in this game.
Mm-hmm. They don't miss tackles. They're third fewest missed tackles of regular season, the fewest missed tackles of any playoff team left. Like, they 79 missed tackles in the year. They just, like I said, they're well coached, they're sound, and they have playmakers. Like, that's scary for an opposing offense. They're really good.
They're stout at all different levels. I think if you wanted to go down the Rodgers rabbit hole and decide that you were going to play Rodgers and Adams, if you're looking for another guy, I think Robert Tonyan makes the most sense. And the Rams is still their top 10 versus tight ends. But when they have been beat, like, you have to go all the way back to week 13, and out of the last, like, 8 to 10 weeks, the only guy that stacks up with a comparable skill set that surpassed more than 50 yards receiving versus them was Dan Arnold. And if you look at Tonyan, that's his game, man. Converted wide receiver, can stretch the seam. Arnold went for 61 yards on 2 targets for 2 touchdowns. Tonyan could have that type of game. Am I projecting him for that? No. Could he, if Rodgers does actualize a ceiling in this game, I think that Tonyan is going to be a big part of that. So if I'm going down with Rodgers, it's going to be with Adams and Tonyan. I don't have a lot of interest in Aaron Jones. Anybody else standing out for you for this game?
No, I think it's going to be really, I could see this being like a 2017, 2016 type game.
Agreed. All right, man, moving over to the Baltimore Ravens are heading to Buffalo. The over-under is set at 49.5. Buffalo is favored by 3. What do you think here?
I don't know. Scared? Nervous? Oh, you meant for DFS.
Petrified? Sweating?
Yeah, this game's going to be so interesting because you obviously have the Ravens defense that is very good. They blitz at the highest rate in the NFL in the regular season. They call blitz 44% of the time, highest rate in the league, 4 points higher than any other defense. They blitzed. When we saw the Bills play this team last year, Josh Allen had one of his worst games of his career. He was missing throws. He had pressure in his face the whole time. Now, that's going to be a similar look for him. The difference is Josh Allen's playing at an MVP level this year. They add Stephon Diggs, who just unlocked everything in this offense. And they're just an elite offense, so it's a lot different. But they're going to run this cover zero man defense where they blitz a ton of players and don't have any safety help. it really reminds me of what the Cardinals do on defense and what they did against Buffalo in that game they played earlier in the year, except the Ravens just have better players on defense. And the Bills have these plays in their playbook where they have these cover zero beaters. Like, they have these screens to John Brown and Stephon Diggs that I think one of them is going to hit. And if Josh Allen is not fazed by the blitz, and if the O-line can pick it up, and Singletary, whoever's in the backfield, T.J. Yeldon, can pick up the blitz, he could just have a bunch of, like, 30, 40-yard plays without safety help. So I think that's the most interesting part of this game. Josh Allen was actually really good against the blitz this season, too. So I think he's obviously in play and really interesting. And like I said, Stephon Diggs is like, $700 too cheap, at least. Like, I don't understand it. He's been the best receiver in the NFL this year outside of Adams. You could throw Tyreek Hill in there as well. Like, I think the three best receivers in football this year are all playing on this slate this weekend. And Diggs is just way too cheap, in my opinion. But given the fact that I've watched the Bills play in these schemes, if you remember when the Bills played the Cardinals on our DFS Game by Game podcast, my call of the week was that John Brown was going to catch a screen and take it to the house. It didn't happen, but he had a screen that went for like 40 yards, and he got tackled at like the 5-yard line. Like, those are the plays they draw up. So I like John Brown a lot in tournaments at 4,600. People are going to be off him because he just goose egged last week. But I think the Colts are a completely different matchup for a player like John Brown because they play so much his own defense and they try to limit the big passing plays. The Ravens play a ton of man-to-man where Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have been probably the best duo in football this year. Like, Rodgers and Adams and Diggs and Allen, like, they just destroy man coverage. So I think that's really enticing. Now, the Ravens corners are obviously really good. They have three really good ones in Peters, Jimmy Smith, and Marlon Humphrey. But like, Stephon Diggs and man coverage, especially if Josh Allen's extending the play, can win against anybody. I don't care. Like, we saw A.J. Brown have success against Marlon Humphrey last week. So I think that is super enticing in this game with how aggressive the Ravens defense is. And I wouldn't be surprised if John Brown had a 40-yard touchdown in this game. I'll be going back to him. And with Zach Moss out, like, I think we see a lot of four wide receiver sets. T.J. Yeldon comes in to block on a lot of plays. Like, I'm excited to watch how the Bills pick up the blitz in this game and if Josh Allen can hit his throws downfield, because he's going to have opportunities for one-on-one coverage and big plays down the field.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm not really on Josh Allen this week as far as playing him. I like this game a lot.
You can get the hell out then.
I like him, okay? But here's the thing. There are other cheaper quarterbacks on this slate that I love that I think could, if they don't match Allen, they could get close enough to where the savings unlocks a ton for your lineups. On this game, man, like I agree with all your points. I think that Baltimore poses a really stout secondary for Buffalo. The guy that I want to bring up here, I know you talked about John Brown. I love that call. I love Gabriel Davis.
Dude, what a stud. How good was he last week?
He was so good, oh, man. Those toe taps on the sidelines. But the reason that I love him in this game is because I don't know if people are going to go back to him or they're not. I love him. I'm going right back to the well this week because you talked about the four wide receiver sets. And we've seen various teams attack this Ravens secondary by stretching them out, pulling some of these more like deeper corners like Tremont Williams.
And get them on the field.
Get them on the field and exploit them, man. And I think that's what happens this week. I think that's what happens with Gabriel Davis, because you look at the overall in the season, Buffalo ran four wide at the second highest clip. Only Arizona ran it higher than them. You look at Gabriel Davis's usage last week. Cole Beasley played, we could say, pretty close, if not, his usual complement of snaps. Gabriel Davis last week ran 75% of his routes from the slot. I think he goes back there this week. And if you're going to tell me that he's going to line up against somebody like the everless, ageless wonder of Tremont Williams, he can roast him this week, and that could be an integral point of how the Bills attack the secondary. And so I love Gabriel Davis. You look at his role not only as a deep option because he leads the team in deep targets. He's also second behind only Stephon Diggs in red zone targets. So love him there as well. I think his upside is immense. He's still priced way too low. And so I think that Marlon Humphrey is going to be on Cole Beasley in the slot. I think we're going to have Jimmy Smith versus John Brown on about 50% of his routes. Diggs is going to move around all the way around the formation. If we could get Diggs on Marcus Peters, who could be punked on any double move, I love that matchup. So,
dude, if Marcus Peters tries to like jump a Josh Allen pass and underestimate his arm strength, like Diggs could house one.
Good luck.
Like he could legitimately house one if Peters tries to jump, because Josh Allen has the strongest arm in the league. Like, I think that's really interesting. We got to talk about Singletary. Like, people are going to play him. It's hard for me to say he's a just straight up terrible play, but like, he's going to get 15 touches at least in this game, but you can't run up the middle in the interior against this Ravens D-line with Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell and those D-linemen plus the linebackers. Like, I don't expect him to be very effective unless he's pass catching, but like, I also think it's going to be important for these running backs to block in this game too. Like, he's 4,500 and he's going to get, you know, the majority of the touches. They don't have anybody else. Like, they signed Devontae Freeman from the practice squad. Who knows if he's even going to be active? And then Yeldon's going to be their, you know, third down occasional back. Like, Singletary's tough because he opens up some things for you salary wise, but I just don't project a great game from him.
So here's my question on Singletary. Do you think he's going to be more popular, or do you think Kareem Hunt's going to be the chalk? Or are they going to eat into each other? Because that's the question that I'm trying to answer. Like, which one of these guys are going to be more popular, or are they just going to eat into each other's ownership?
If I had to guess, I would say it's not like he's going to be like drastically more popular, but I think Kareem Hunt gets the edge. But I don't think it's going to be like massive, you know?
And I'm really curious on where he comes in at. So if anybody has not checked out Kyle Murray's ownership projections, head over to ftndaily.com, get signed up with the promo code FTC, save 10%. Check those out, because it's something I'm going to be monitoring all the way up to kickoff, because I'm not a big Singletary guy. But the fact of it is that if you look at the splits with him and Moss off the field, I mean, his numbers go up across the board. And you look at Baltimore, man, like, they can be had versus the run. Like, they're 24th, since week 10, they're 24th in explosive run rate allowed. Singletary, if you look at him, even on limited volume, the dude is a top 12 running back in breakaway runs over the last two seasons, 8th and 12th over the last two seasons. So, I like him. I think it's really going to be an ownership game for me and where he comes in at, because him versus Hunt versus somebody else, like I'm talking about Gabriel Davis, are all in that 4K price range. I think that Hunt and Singletary are going to be more popular. I'll probably get to Singletary maybe on some of my non-Josh Allen teams. But on my Josh Allen teams, I'm more likely to go with Gabriel Davis. But that's kind of where I'm at with the running backs, man, and this receiver usage. Moving over to Baltimore, man, like I love Lamar. I think that he's probably going to be my highest rostered quarterback. We've talked about him in recent weeks, like, the way you attack Buffalo is on the ground. Lamar can do that. I mean, they're bottom basement of every metric that you look at or that I care about. 32nd and second level yards. They're bottom basement. They're 29th in explosive run rate allowed. Lamar can easily go for 100 rushing yards in this spot. It's just a question of what do you think he does passing, Adam? Like, I think that he can have a really good game. And if he does that, I was big into Marquise Brown last week. I'm not going back to the well on that one. I do think that Mark Andrews is in play. Now, we do need to monitor what the weather looks like, because if this is going to be like snow and high winds and terrible, then I'm more likely to just possibly get contrarian and pair Lamar and J.K. Dobbins together and just get all the rushing equity in a great rushing matchup for Baltimore. And if Baltimore scores all their touchdowns on the ground, then it's Yahtzee, dude. Then I don't have to worry about it, because we know J.K. Dobbins has a ceiling and the ability to break off big runs. But what are your thoughts on the Ravens?
So if I'm the Bills, I have Trey White follow Hollywood Brown and press him at the line of scrimmage on every play. And he honestly might not catch a pass if they do that. Like, that's not a knock on Hollywood. He's just, like, Trey White is such a physical corner at the line of scrimmage that I don't see how Hollywood would beat him. And then force Willie Snead and Miles Boykin to beat the other corners, which, like, we talked about the secondary corners for Buffalo being a weaker point, but it's like, do you worry about Willie Snead and Miles Boykin beating you? No. So if I'm Leslie Frazier, that's what I'm doing. We know they don't often have Trey White just follow somebody. And here's what I think is going to happen. I watched the Bills for a long time, obviously. Whenever they play an elite tight end, Trey White is following, not following, but he's on that tight end a lot. He's followed Gronk at times. Last year against Philly, he followed Zach Ertz. Earlier in the year, he was against Travis Kelce.
He was
Kelce.
On Doyle last week.
Right, and he was on Jack Doyle a lot, too. Trey White, by the way, didn't have a good game last week, but the Bills still won, so I'm allowed to let it go. I think we're going to see Trey White on Mark Andrews quite a bit in this game. Now, great. Is that a bad matchup for Andrews? I think it's kind of neutral just because Mark Andrews is such a huge guy. Like Trey White is a great player, but he's a little bit smaller at the corner position. That's going to be interesting because we know Buffalo struggled with tight ends this year. Milano's really good in coverage, but you know they've still been up and down. I think that's going to be like the story of this game, other than the fact that we know the Baltimore Ravens are going to try to run the football and they could easily find success. If Trey White's on Andrews, that could open up some things for Hollywood Brown against, like, if he's got time, like Levi Wallace and Josh Norman are slow. So that's interesting for Hollywood Brown. I think we're going to see Trey White on Andrews quite a bit and on Hollywood Brown in this game. But yeah, like, I do think at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to run the ball, you know, 10 to 15 times with Lamar Jackson and, you know, 15 to 20 total times with Dobbins and Edwards. Dobbins is a little expensive and, like, he doesn't have a scenario unless Baltimore just is up, like, two or three scores, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think he has a ceiling to get, like, 20 carries unless, like, Edwards gets hurt mid-game or Lamar is just not running somehow.
No, I don't disagree. I think you play Dobbins for the ceiling and the ability to break a long run and pass.
And he's
that.
Been converting a lot of touchdowns, as we know, so that's good. But Lamar's fine. The Bills last year, if you remember, they actually defended Lamar better than any team in the league last year in terms of running. They really did a good job containing him. Matt Milano was talking about that earlier in the week. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a 60-yard game from Lamar Jackson and not like a 100-yard rushing game. But obviously, with his speed and ability, like, he needs one run and he can go 60 yards and then you're good. So, like, yeah, Lamar's obviously in play, probably a little bit underpriced at 7,600. But I think it's really up in the air who the top pass catcher is. Like, I think everybody's going to go to Andrews, which, if you look at the DVP and stuff like that, it makes sense. But I'm telling you right now, Trey White is going to be on Mark Andrews quite a bit in this game. Like, I know that for a fact.
No, I don't disagree with you. The counterpoint to that is I will say that Jack Doyle saw Trey on four targets last week. He got three catches versus that. I think that it's a really interesting matchup, a very pivotal one for this game. My biggest question in this game, Adam, is do you think that J.K. Dobbins could go to overlook this week? His price is up a little bit. People are not going to want to play him.
Especially because he's right next to Cam Akers in price.
He's right next to Cam Akers. He's right under Nick Chubb. People, I feel like, on this slate are going to do one of a few different things. They're going to pay up and go to Kamara. They're going to play Chubb. Or they're going to go down and play Singletary, Kareem Hunt, Cam Akers. Like, all five of those running backs are going to carry, I think, higher ownership percentages than J.K. Dobbins. But am I wrong in reading the room and thinking that J.K. Dobbins is going to go overlooked?
No, and I think he could score twice in this game relatively easily. Like, Buffalo. That's why I didn't. This is why I didn't want to play Baltimore as a Bills fan. I worry about them running the football against the Bills and keeping Josh Allen off the field. And I think that's clearly what they're going to do. Like, if you look at the matchups, like, Buffalo gets the edge if Lamar and them want to throw the ball a lot. Like, I think that's a win for Buffalo. But if they run the ball a lot, that's a win for Baltimore. So I think this game is just so interesting in so many different aspects. You know, what the Bills offense is good at versus what the Ravens defense is good at and vice versa. So I think you can get exposure to Andrews and Dobbins. I have a lot of trepidation going to Hollywood Brown, although he's been great to end the season. But I just, you know, the Bills, for as slow as their other corners are.
Hold on. We haven't even talked about this yet. I gave him the Hollywood moniker back last week.
You did.
I told you it was gonna happen. He went for 100 yards, and boom, it happened. Does he deserve the Hollywood moniker this week, Adam?
Yeah, he's been great the last, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah, but in this game, do you think he's going to have a fantastic game?
Oh, no.
And deserve to be called Hollywood?
I don't think he's going to have a fantastic game just because the Bills don't give up a ton of big passing plays, and their safeties are still the best safeties in the league and as a tandem. Like, they're just – Poyer and Micah Hyde are so sound. They're just always in the right position. So I think it's more of like a – I think a lot of the passing plays in this game are like 2nd and 10, Willie Snead gets 7. You know, 3rd and 4, Miles Boykin gets 8, you know. Stuff like that.
So the translation here is we're going to see more of a Marquise Brown type of week, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. But if we're looking at it from the grand scheme of the last 5 or 6 weeks, he's definitely earned the Hollywood name back.
No, I don't disagree, man. I just don't project a big game for him. Even if he goes for like 15 DK, that's fine. I don't know if that is helping you take down a GPP, just considering
like
some of the other options even in the 5K range.
Where does he rank among receivers in this game? Like 5th? He's not better than Diggs. I prefer John Brown. You like Gabriel Davis. I like him too. And then like the question is like Cole Beasley's got a tough matchup, but like Beasley's still getting the ball. Like I probably won't get that.
Or
any
even
help.
If you count Mark Andrews in the conversation,
right,
does
exactly.
Andrews go above him too? No, I don't disagree, man. Like I could definitely say out of this game, he's no higher than 3rd, maybe 4th. Like at the peak of where I want to put him, because Diggs and Gabriel Davis are over him. Even if I wanted to put Andrews over him, I think it's an interesting conversation. But I think he's probably sitting at 4th or maybe 5th in this game for me.
Before we get out of this game, who wins?
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
I told everybody, I had so many people tell me, yeah, the Bills are a smash lock to win by like 17. I was like, it's not. Y'all know the Colts are a good team, right? And they won by 3. I think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be a lot more high scoring than people think. I said 31-27 Buffalo.
I actually think that Buffalo could take this game. I was talking in our Slack earlier this week. My first pass is I think Buffalo takes this game. What I think is going to be very pivotal is how this game unfolds in the first like 2 to 3 drives.
Yep.
And what that script sets up for the rest of the game. Like if Baltimore comes out, they score early and they're able to lean on their run game and put Buffalo behind and be able to like pin their ears back and drop everybody into coverage, I think Buffalo could struggle.
Also,
Buffalo.
Can we talk about last week when the Ravens went down 10-0 in the first quarter and everybody's like, and then they won and everybody's like, I thought the Ravens couldn't play from behind. I was like, they were down 10-0 in the first quarter. Let's calm down. Like,
from behind. Like they weren't down, but like
they were down
10-0.
Like, I'm telling you, if the Bills go up like in the third quarter, like 24-10 or something, they're not losing this game.
No, I don't disagree.
10-0 in the first 6 minutes is a lot different than down 2 scores in the third quarter. Like, come on. But I think it's going to be a really good game, and I'm as a Bills fan with anxiety, I'm scared. So
I think it's going to be a fantastic game. My first pass is I think Buffalo takes the game. The other thing before we move out of this game, the Bills are going to have to come out and not play scared like they did in the first part of that game.
100%.
Where they were running Zach Moss up the middle, getting away from the identity of the team that got them to this point.
Yeah, Dable called his worst game of the year in the playoffs. It was really weird.
Bad. So if we don't see Dayball come out and decide like I'm gonna run and play scared, if they come out and they decide to challenge the secondary and play like the team that got them to this point, I think Buffalo can win it. If they come out playing scared and they look like they've never been here before, then yeah, I think Baltimore can roll them. It just depends on what happens, like I'm saying, on those first 2 to 3 drives. All right, moving over to Cleveland is heading to Kansas City. The over-under is set at a sky-high 57. The Chiefs are favored by 10. Adam, what do you think here?
I'm going to let you take this one because I know you love this game. And I know you love Nick Chubb and Tyreek Hill, so go for it. I mean,
I think there's so many different ways to stack this game, dude. Like, if you want to tell me you want to play Baker, go at it, man. Like, I think that Baker could actualize a ceiling. I think that Cleveland could be forced to pass in this game. All of his weapons are super cheap. So if you want to go with Jarvis Landry and Hooper, I love both of them here. Like Kansas City has been good with their outside corners, but Austin Hooper could definitely eat up this team. Over the last 2 to 3 seasons, Kansas City has struggled versus tight ends. They've also struggled versus short passing. I think that Hooper is, for his role and in this matchup, I think he's underpriced. I like him. I think that Hooper Hooper this week makes going to tight end viable for me. Like, if you wanted to play Kelce and play Hooper in the flex, I am not against that at all, especially if you're going to full game stack this. I really like that build a whole lot. I love Nick Chubb in this spot, too. I mean, like, really, there's so many different ways to go, Adam. Like, you could play Baker. You could play Landry and Hooper. You could go with Chubb or Hunt, like, depending on what you think the game script is going to be. I'm really curious on how popular Chubb is going to be. With Hunt having the two touchdowns last week, people are going to be playing the narrative of Cleveland's going to be chasing in this game. I think Chubb can have a fantastic game. Like the Kansas City Chiefs have struggled versus the run, or however you want to look at it, allowed teams to run on them over the last few years. Chubb is one of the best downhill, explosive breakaway runners in the NFL. I think this comes down to if Cleveland is able to, like if Teller plays, Conklin plays, we get a somewhat semblance of a healthy Cleveland offensive line. I think Nick Chubb could get 20, 25 carries and explode in this one. I want to have exposure to him. I really think that going and being contrarian and actually playing Chubb with Patrick Mahomes in a game stack is going to be different than what a lot of other people are going to do. I think they're more likely going to roster, for one, the value, and two, playing the negative game script narrative and playing Kareem Hunt with Patrick Mahomes. And I actually like going to the other side of the coin and playing Nick Chubb and then stacking the Kansas City side. But what are your thoughts on this game? Does that sound like craziness to you?
I just think the Browns are all underpriced.
Agreed.
Honestly. Like, Baker shouldn't be 5,300. Chubb shouldn't be 6,600. Hunt shouldn't be 4,800. And Landry shouldn't be 5,600. Like, the only one you could say, okay, maybe is Hooper. But still, like, Hooper's been pretty strong, too. I think you can literally play any of the Cleveland Browns. They're just too cheap, in my opinion. Especially the passing game options, where you could tell a story where they're, well, I think they're 10-point dogs in this game. Or somewhere around that. Baker's played great. The offensive line should be healthier, obviously. They had the awful situation with the COVID stuff last week, and Baker still was good. That matchup aside, like, they're just too cheap, in my opinion. We know running backs can have success against Kansas City. Landry has been just super solid since Odell suffered his injury. He's like a lock for like 8 targets at a minimum, and he had 8 targets in the game last week when they were up 28-0 or in the first quarter. So, like, if they get behind, he has the upside for, like, 13 targets. Just kind of that simple, man. I think the Browns are too cheap. And then on the other side, like, who's going to cover Tyreek Hill in the secondary? I mean, Denzel Ward's back, but, like, he's not even going to cover him if he's in the slot. So it could be bad. It could be really bad. And then you, of course, have Kelce, who's just, like, the lock every week. And Cleveland's been bad against tight ends. So it's like, this game's kind of easy, right? Like, you know what you get with Mahomes. I don't think the Chiefs are going to run the ball in this game because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is banged up. Plus, the Browns have been so good against the run anyway. Like, this is a game where Mahomes is going to probably throw 40 times, even in a positive game script. And when he's throwing the ball, I mean, Kelce and Tyreek Hill have been two of the 5 safest bets in fantasy this year. Like, it's just kind of easy. The only question you decide is, okay, do you want to get cute and play a cheap Kansas City receiver or a cheap Cleveland receiver, which I don't know if you have to, because there are some cheap receivers in the Baltimore-Buffalo game we talked about, and we still have one more game. So it's honestly kind of easy for me. And I imagine that you agree that you would prefer Tyreek over Devontae.
Yeah, easily. Like, I think Tyreek Hill, it's not even a close conversation. I mean, like, you're okay. Looking at a Browns secondary that's bottom 5 against deep passing. Like, how the hell do we get away from Tyreek Hill this week?
Does Tyreek Hill get a lot of deep targets?
He gets a few, yeah. What's yeah, up? just a few. Yeah.
Okay. I just wrote that in my notes, so.
I mean, to everybody listening at home, Tyreek Hill, yes, we're being facetious. Second in the NFL in deep targets behind only Calvin Ridley. I think that he destroys them.
When's the last time he didn't score a touchdown, too?
I think it was versus Buffalo in the game.
It was, where they, and that just, was like, only because they just said, "Hey, Clyde, they're not stopping you. Just run the ball 25 times."
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, Tyreek Hill, for as much as people want to talk about, he's a ceiling option. Dude's been more floor than ceiling this year, mm-hmm. And I think he's a fantastic option. Like, he could break the slate easily easily this week. And I don't know if Adams has that in his wheelhouse to be able to do that this week.
No, I agree. I do prefer Tyreek Hill. And, like, do we have to say anything about Kelce?
Hell no. Play him. That's the analysis. Okay. Like, you play this man. It doesn't matter the matchup. He's a wide receiver one. He's priced as such. Play him. Analysis over. On to the other parts for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, it looks like CEH might miss this game. Are you interested at all in Le'Veon Bell? Because I can easily tell you I'm not.
I'd just play Darrell Williams over Le'Veon Bell if I had to play one of these running backs. I don't think you have to. So that's how I feel about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, like, I just don't think that he has a ceiling. And if he's going to be splitting touches with Darrell Williams, I'm sorry, but no thank you.
Remember that game against Atlanta where Clyde was ruled out in week 16, everybody was like, oh, Le'Veon Bell is a viable play. They went away from him. They went away from him and went to Darrell Williams in that game. So.
Yep, I like that call a whole lot. And the other thing about it is Kansas City could just decide to throw the ball like 55 times in this game. With the pass catchers, I will actually be really surprised if Sammy Watkins plays this week. Where do you stand on Mecole Hardman versus DeMarcus Robinson? Because I actually lean to Marcus Robinson. Like, if you look at his splits.
He's always the safer bet for snaps and routes.
Yep. And that's where I'm at, man. Hardman, like, I think that he can beat him.
Hardman probably will return some punts if you want to get cute there, but that's, you know, it's hard to project a punt return touchdown.
I'm not following the Mecole Hardman train. I think that he could actually gain some steam this week. As soon as we get the news that Sammy Watkins is ruled out, I think that people automatically gravitate to Mecole Hardman. I'm more likely to go to Marcus Robinson.
Yeah.
He's actually priced up a little bit in the mid-4Ks, and I don't think that people want to do that. I like him a fair amount this week.
Nope, I will say, just touching on Hardman, as much as we nailed some of the receiver takes this year, the Houston guys, Adam Thielen, stuff like that, completely missed on Mecole Hardman this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, the usage has just not been there. I don't know if it's ever going to be there. I mean, they've had avenues to make him a full-time player, and we just don't see it happening. So, yeah, we definitely missed the boat on that one. But, you know, you live, you learn. We're not perfect. We go with the usage, and you make your predictions and hold through your takes. All right, man, moving on to the last game here. Tampa Bay is heading to New Orleans. The over-under is set at 52. The Saints are favored by 3. I think this game is probably going to shoot out, man. I think we see a different Tom Brady in this game. I know that the Saints have truck-sticked the Buccaneers in both matchups. I understand all the history that Mike Evans has with Marshawn Lattimore and everything of that nature. I still think that this game could easily rival and go over the total here. What do you think, Adam?
So first things first, if Latavius Murray and Taysom Hill are out, you just lock button Alvin Kamara, because he's not coming off the field. And the matchup on a, like, pure like, per-carry basis is bad, but if Alvin Kamara finally gets 25 touches in a game, and it's the playoffs, so, like, why limit him if Latavius is out? $7,900 is, like, $2,000 too cheap almost. So that's something to keep an eye on. Both haven't practiced all week. We'll see if they practice here on Friday. I really like Michael Thomas again at $6,700. I know you were smashing the table for him last week. He was really good. Probably would have been even better if the Bears offense could have done anything until the final play of the game. But $6,700 is a really nice price tag. I think Carlton Davis is a little bit overrated. He's a good corner, but he's not a guy that's going to shut anybody down very often. Now, he did shut down Michael Thomas back in week one, for what it's worth. But I just think, you've talked about it, in the second half of the year, his numbers have taken a huge dip. So I'm not really worried about that. I also think Deontay Harris could be a viable punt here at $3,500. He hit 7 targets last game, $3,500. They like getting him the ball in creative ways. That's a really cheap piece of exposure to this game. So I like that. Those are my three favorite options from the Saints. And then Tampa Bay is interesting because Ronald Jones was, you know, not active last week, or he was active but didn't play. Still limited in practice. I just don't play running backs against the Saints, so I don't think it's really going to matter for me. I think this could be, like, a Brady Godwin type game, maybe some Gronk mixed in at $3,600. It's funny because my first takeaway from this game is not even fantasy related. There's no way the Saints can beat this team 3 games in a season, right? But then, like, they really could. Like, I think Tampa's going to be pissed off in this game, but I think the Saints have the better just kind of matchup across the board.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Drew Brees in this game. I think that he's still underpriced. I think that he could have a 300-yard, three-touchdown game. I love him. He's probably – dude, honestly, like, he's probably my second, third favorite quarterback on this slate. Love, love, love him. I think that he actualizes a real ceiling in this game because we've seen Tampa Bay, man, like – if Taylor Heineke can look like a legitimate starting NFL cornerback versus your secondary, that all tells you all you need to know on what Drew Brees could do versus the secondary this week. I'm going to go right back to the well. Love Michael Thomas. On your call on Harris, any worries about Tre'Quan Smith coming back, who's been activated, if he's active in this game, do you still think Harris is viable, or would you be willing to play Tre'Quan?
I think if Tre'Quan's active, it would definitely put a damper on Harris, but I would still play Harris over Tre'Quan if he's active.
That's fair.
Deontay Harris. I think he's a good player.
I do too. I mean, the dude's electric. He's a fantastic returner. I love watching him play, man. With Tampa, I'm not on Gronk. The Saints have been very good against tight ends. The other thing is that they wanted Gronk to actually help mitigate some of the pass rush.
Game plan by Tampa. I noticed that right away. I was like, Gronk is pass blocking this game, and nobody got home until like the end of the game. I think Jonathan Allen got like a late sack in the game. But
the thing is, I think that happens again this week.
Right, you have Cameron Jordan and Trey Hendrickson.
I think if they keep him in the block, and that kind of worries me because we saw Antonio's routes take a dip last week with them keeping Evans and Godwin on the field. I like Antonio Brown in this matchup because he's had more slot usage over the last 3 weeks, but if his routes are going to take a dip because they're going to be running more 12 personnel, going to be asking, you know, to load up and play heavy sets, that way they can mitigate the pass rush so Brady doesn't get annihilated for the third game versus this defense, it kind of takes me off some of that. Like, I'll probably just play Godwin and move on because Evans, we've seen a long enough history to know that, like, Marshawn Lattimore just owns that dude. It's just a fact. He just does. So I like this game a ton. I like your Kamara call because I don't know if people want to pay up to him, especially on this slate. If Hill and Latavius Murray are going to be out, I mean, Kamara has scored above 15 DK points versus this team in both matchups. I think that his floor and ceiling are still there, especially if we were to see some type of 8-9 target game from Breeze and Kamara in this spot. If they're pushed, it's in the range of outcomes, man. But I love them. I will bring up Jared Cook in this spot before we get out of this game because Tampa has been vulnerable versus the tight end all season long. I think that he's viable in a game stack outside of that. I'm not going to have much interest in him. Any other plays out of this game, Adam?
I like Godwin the most of the Tampa receivers pretty easily. Yeah, I'm not really on Evans. I think it's just been frustrating for him against Lattimore. And, yeah, I'll just add the fact that if Latavius and Taysom Hill are out, like, those are the only players that would ever steal touchdowns from Alvin Kamara. So, you would have, like, not that you really have concerns with Kamara anyway, but, like, if you were to have one ever, it was the fact that Taysom Hill was getting involved there and Latavius gets 8 to 12 touches. But yeah, it's just they could just give him 25 touches in this game if they're out.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. I love this game overall. I'm definitely going to pick a lot of one-offs. I'm going to have so much Drew Brees this week. It's going to be ridiculous. All right, everyone, that is the DFS game-by-game breakdown for the divisional round. Adam and I are going to be back next week talking about both of the games for the conference championship. For Faye the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faye the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.